Welcome back to an all new Fourth Down Insight. I'm your host, Seth, and today we're going to be talking about some of my views about the Senior Bowl and some of like the potential risers and losers. I guess those players that, didn't quite meet expectations. And right now, there's a lot of uncertainty in this draft because who knows what the Titans are going to do at number one, right? Are they going to take a quarterback? Are they going to take either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? No one knows, because with the new GM saying, we're not going to skip on a generational prospect at number one, what does that mean? Like, how are we supposed to take it? Are they just trying to confuse everybody and, is she going to take a quarterback, or are they going to take Travis Hunter? So the Senior Bowl right now, I think, is very important because of that reasoning, because you've got some of these players that are going to be affected by this. They're going to be, because if some current players are drafted, these players may even rise even more because, they are the best value out of anybody else that's left. Because some of these guys are going to be a first round talent, some of these guys maybe second round. And so right now I want to talk about Jackson Dart, QB out of Ole Miss. Honestly, like, you guys will probably hear me talk about it and like so much more like in these upcoming months to follow, because I think we're around 80 something days until the NFL draft. Honestly, the draft is one of my favorite times of the year, and like when it comes to the football or NFL, I love the draft. I try to do as much homework as possible because it's just the next generation. Because sure, we may think this is not as talented of a draft right now, because that's what some reports are coming out as. Like, I understand that it might not be a talented first round, but I think you're going to get a lot of guys in the second and beyond, like at great positions or at great spots. And I think that we're going to see a future Hall of Famer in this class, as we're going to see as always. But right now, Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, he's right now on ESPN. If you go look at their prospects, they have a draft or a big board, and they've ranked all their players. And so right now he's sitting at the seventh quarterback right now, and 180th like ranked like total. I don't agree with that. I think he should be ranked second, but that's my personal opinion. I think he's better, going to be better than Shedeur Sanders, but I didn't play in the NFL. I haven't, like, I'm not going to, like, that's just me. I'm not an NFL scout. I'm not anything, but these are the different reports that are coming out. I just didn't see it. So I want to talk about his stats. He has improved every year that he's played. So going back to 2021, which was his first year, he played six games at USC. He had nine touchdowns and five interceptions. Not good. That was a 1.8 touchdown to interception ratio. And he had 1,353 yards passing and 61.9% completion percentage. Nothing special there. Well, not really good. Also, it's only 60 games. So, you really can't judge most off of it. But in that time, he did play like number 13 BYU. This is back in 2021. Like number one ranked BYU. But then a week before, played against UCLA, but threw for 325 yards, one touchdown and two interceptions. After that, he transferred to Ole Miss, and he didn't have the greatest season, but like he definitely improved. He threw for 2,974 yards with 20 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, which is a 1.81 TD to interception ratio. He went on to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. Won 8 games, lost 5, which isn't bad, but his number for the most yards that he passed was for 448 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So like in some of these big games where he's throwing, he was throwing interceptions like that weighed more than touchdowns. And so then come 2023, he only threw for 5 interceptions, 0.3 touchdowns, threw for 3,364 yards. And then guess what? His one of his best games, came in against LSU, number 13 LSU. And so he threw for 389 yards and threw for four touchdowns while rushing for another one. He had seven carries for 50 yards in that game against number 13 ranked LSU. Then if you're looking at another game, which he played great against the Mercer Bears. This I have not heard of them, but they play, they're an NCAAF team. But they he threw for four touchdowns and didn't rush for any touchdown didn't rush for any. But that's still pretty impressive. Then come 2024, he had an amazing season. He set some SEC records. He threw for 4,279 yards passing. He threw for over that. He almost threw for almost 1,000 yards more than he did last season. He had threw for 29 touchdowns, which is six more than last year, while throwing one more interception. But that still gets him a 4.8 TD to the interception ratio. He did get sacked 28 times this season, though. He didn't play against a very great offensive line, but he made do. He did what he needed to do. He played with a good defense, though, so like he knew that he could count on the defense. But looking at this and looking at how he performed at the Senior Bowl, he didn't have a good first day of practice, but none of the QBs did. Even though that not like Cam Ward was in there or Shedeur Sanders participating in it, he did start to shine afterwards, though. He played, started turning heads, and everyone started seeing how he could throw a touch ball. He could throw it deep. He was making good decisions. He had good field of vision. And then looking at the Senior Bowl game, he looked pretty good. He looked comfortable in the pocket. He is able to make plays outside of it. He's able to, he has athleticism to him, and I don't think enough people give him credit for. But he had over 1,000 yards rushing in his career. With this performance, right? With the season, I think a lot of people were thinking he was going to go in like the fourth round, fourth, fifth round. But then as time has progressed, he has moved himself up. It's the least a second round pick. Some executives, this is, it's crazy. So much. Like, out of all the reports right now, so many executives are split on every quarterback in this draft. If you look at it, every all these pro or executives and scouts are split. But some absolutely love these prospects. Some are like, I don't think there's any like franchise guys in this draft. And so, looking at it, a couple of executives have come out and said that Jackson Dart is not a first round quarterback. And if he is, he's going to be a very late first rounder, right? First rounder. And some see him as a first rounder, which I believe he should. Because you can get in there and get that fifth year option for him if he's going to be towards the back. And I can see some of these teams passing on quarterbacks because they're like, oh, we can just get Jackson Dart in either the later first round or in the second round. Because a lot of other scouts believe him to be a second round player. And guess what? He's going to go early. Somebody's going to trade out of one of those early spots so that then somebody or one of these other teams can come up and pick him. And so, look, if you're looking at that, that's how it's going to be. One, and I have always thought, like, these last two seasons, he's played phenomenal. And I think that he could be QB2. And some people have him as QB2 on these boards, some scouts and some executives. So I think the combine is either going to hurt him or it's going to really show that he can move and do some of these things. It's going to be the combine and pro day are going to be the final decision for him to be a first rounder. I think that's how it's going to go down. Right now, February 2nd, 2025, that's what I'm calling it right now. If he has a good pro day, which all usually a lot of guys do because it's a controlled environment and that's kind of what it is. I think if he has a combination of a good combine and pro day where he does run I'd say at least, ooh, I don't know. I'm not really, I just don't, I think 4-5 might be the, I don't think he's gonna run a 4-5, but we'll see. I think if he runs, like, the faster he runs, the higher, because people are gonna be like, oh, he actually has some athleticism, he can actually run. Right. He might be one of the closer or quicker quarterbacks in this draft, but we'll see, because some of these guys, because I know Kadore's not gonna run. Cam Ward should be interesting to see if he runs in the combine, or even at his pro day. We'll see. But Jackson Dart is gonna be interesting. One of my losers at the quarterback position is Jalen Milroe. And you may have listened to my last podcast or my last episode of the podcast and been like, oh, wait, hold on, but you said that he was, first rounder, the second rounder. He hurt himself in this entire he struggled in during this. And so looking at him, he's a junior. And I don't understand why he didn't go back for his senior season. I think if he would have gone back for his senior season, he would have, if he would have played better, he could have been, one of those quarterbacks and been like, oh, okay, like, we don't have to worry about him. But next year might be stacked at quarterback if you're looking at it. But let's not get off topic. Jalen Milroe in 2023 had a good season. He did. If you look at it, he had 2,834 yards passing, 23 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, but he rushed for 12 touchdowns. It showed that he had athleticism, which was good. It was good to see that he could show that. But then a lot of people were saying, oh, okay, if he produces like that again, he's gonna be fine. He's gonna be able to go in the first round. But then come 2024, I understand that it was post Nick Saban, in that they have a new coach, they have a new offensive coordinator, but his production dropped. He threw for 2,844 yards. Sure, that's only 10 more yards. He only threw for 10 more yards. Also, he threw for only 16 touchdowns. Only 16 touchdowns. And threw 11 interceptions. But he did have 20 rushing touchdowns, which is good. Which is good. But it just, I don't know. It just was difficult to see him progress. You didn't see really much progression. And so I know a lot of people were confused, like, were surprised when he declared for the draft because of that production he didn't have. He struggled against some easy teams that he sort of not had to struggle against. Like, for example, Oklahoma. Oklahoma game. Oklahoma came out and just whooped Alabama. He threw three interceptions that game. And he didn't, he only had 15 carries for 7 yards. 15 carries for 7 yards and a long for 11. He only had 164 yards passing. He completed 11 out of 26 attempts. And I know a lot of people were surprised by that, but, like, he really didn't show that he could be a good quarterback, or, like, a quarterback that, could be your franchise guy, or could be even your program guy. Sure, he could run it, but that really seemed like all you could do. Can you see? He threw for 239 yards, and he threw for two interceptions, and rushed for zero touchdowns. It seemed like these bigger teams, he was not able to play good against. Except for Georgia. Georgia might be the only exception from this season, this previous season, who was second ranked for this season, or finished second. 27 completions for 33 on 33 attempts, 374 yards passing, two passing touchdowns, one interception, along with two touchdowns. He ran for 117 yards on 16 carries. Looking at that, that could be a tape that people go back, or teams go back and will look and say, you know what? If we can get him to maybe sit behind, a veteran, he should be fine. He should be good because of that Georgia game. But we'll see. I saw reports that Tennant or not, the Dolphins could be looking at Jalen Milroe as the backup for Tua. And we've seen how Tua's been hurt a lot, and, like, especially this last season, where people were coming out to play saying that he should retire But he didn't. And so looking at that, he should they could take a quarterback like Jalen Milroe, where they're like, hey, we'll give you time to develop and like you can stay behind Tua and like learn from him so that then we can progress. They're both Alabama guys also. They both played under Nick Saban, even though that this previous year he didn't Jalen Milroe didn't play for Nick Saban. They still have that connection that they'd be like, oh, okay, two Alabama guys in our locker room. They kind of, the Dolphins do need that. Well, we'll see how that goes. My winner for the this Senior Bowl is Mike Green, edge rusher, Marshall. ESPN has him ranked as the 18th best edge rusher in this draft class. And 92 overall rank, like rank. Yeah, this is so outdated, and like in my opinion, and they probably are going to update this. But everyone after that says that he has established himself as a first round talent because of how his performance was and how he was dominant in one-on-ones. I'm pretty sure if you go like a lot of people saw this, but like the rep against Josh, who I'm going to butcher this, Connerly Jr. The offensive tackle for Oregon, who's the 20th ESPN's 20th overall player, he full on bull rushed him and knocked him on his butt. Mike Green exploded and won that rep. And people, and that's just a lot of people say that, that's what it like is there for, is like one on ones, it's always one sided, right? I think it's one sided for defense alignment. Like you don't see that. There's might be there should be some resistance, but no, he exploded, except especially from the third offensive or third overall ranked offensive tackle. That's just insane. You probably don't see that in any most other, Senior Bowls. But then if you're looking at this, he played phenomenal this season. I know that a lot of people are saying, oh man, well, he didn't play against much competition because Marshall. But look at what he did in 3 seasons. So, of course, Virginia, he only played 6 games, and then there was some issues there that caused him to transfer, and he only had 4 tackles that entire season. But in 6 games, freshman, you're probably not going to look at that. So he took a year off, transferred to Marshall in 2023. He had 4.5 sacks with 43 tackles, right? But then this year, he stepped it up this year with 81 total tackles, 38 solo tackles, 43 assisted, 17 freaking sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, and 2 passes defended. That is just, as an edge rusher, he has the tangibles that you want in him. Like you want that in this guy. He's 6'4", 248 pounds. You want somebody coming off like that off your edge. I don't care that he played against lower ranked schools and stuff. He played against Ohio State this year. He was causing trouble in backstage, like Ohio State backfield. He had 2 solo tackles and 1 sack. That was his stat line. I know that they probably I think if you go back and watch him, he gets double-teamed for that because Ohio State was worried about him because they knew that he could be a disruptor on that. And why wouldn't you want to try to block the best player that's going against you, right? And double team them because you don't want them to be a factor at all. And Mike Green was a factor in every single one of his games. Let me just list some of the stats off for you from the season. So his highest sacks, like the most sacks he got in a game, was 3 against us. Southern Miss Eagles, Southern Miss Eagle, Golden Eagles, right? He had 3 in that game. Then let's look down. He then had he had Coastal, against Coastal Carolina, he had 2 sacks. Against UL Monroe, he had 2 sacks. He had 2.5 sacks against Appalachian State, and then he had 2 against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech and Ohio State were probably some of the bigger name teams that they played against. And then James Madison, he had 1 sack against, but then he played good. But like in Coastal Carolina, he had the fumble recovery and the forced fumble. And then UL Monroe, game, he had one forced fumble. In the Apple App State game, he had one forced fumble. He's shown you that he can bull rush, and he's a good rusher. If you can put him in the right system, he's going to be an all pro. He's going to be a pro bowler. He's going to be able to put that all together. And if you can steer him in the right lane, right area, so that then he's not, hurting his draft stock. He's not hurting anything. Like not his draft stock, but like he's not going out and making dumb decisions. And so if teams can go out that and like, hey, this is our plan for him. We're going to, maybe the off the field issues aren't like, aren't as a concern for them. Then do you know what? Do it. Do it. Like, he's going to throw you and get him in the right system. Oh man, he's gonna be able to produce like that. The second player or the third, okay, another winner I have is Gray Zabel, the offensive lineman from North Dakota State. He right now is on ESPN's board as the 13th best positional offensive tackle, and then the 123rd overall ranked prospect. A lot of people are saying he's gonna be the, even though he plays outside tackle, he could be a number one A tier player for this upcoming draft. And if he can, that's gonna be great for him. And so he showed that he could be dominant like throughout for this during the Senior Bowl. Sorry, I was looking up one of the other guys. But he played, yeah, he did. He only lost reps on Thursday in practice. Every day before then, from what I've heard, he's won. He won them. Like, there was no consideration for, or like, no one saw him lose. So that is insane to hear that you don't lose a single rep like during the entire week until Thursday. Like, some people struggled, but like, who cares? And then, I mean, honestly, if he could produce like that on a team, he's gonna be good. He's gonna be up there, I think, second round. He's gonna be gone by the second round. Like, in the second round, he's gonna be gone by the third if teams are gonna be smart about it. My second player is going to be Anthony Belton, offensive tackle from NC State. He was so dominant. And if you look paid any attention to like the Senior Bowl at all and any reports coming out, he rose up the draft boards, I think, for a lot of teams to where I think he's gonna be a first round talent now because of his dominance. He didn't lose reps. He was able to go against toe to toe with some of the best like rushers, edge rushers, interior line, defense linemen. Like, he was good. And guess what? If you can get that production out of him, then why not take him? Because if you can bolster your offensive lineman, like line, you're gonna be good. And I know a lot of teams will look at these guys and be like, okay, hey, we got our offensive line right now, but are they going to be hitting free agency soon? Are they going to be hitting? Are they going to be retiring soon? Are they interested in returning to the team? Oh, they're really not. Okay. Oh, are they not interested in returning? Oh, are they maybe contemplating retirement? Oh, are they going to be too out of our price range for free agency? A lot of teams will draft that player and, have them sit a year if they already have a good offensive line, and like let him develop and let players develop, because they're like, okay, we can get a bunch of production if like next year when we don't have that tackle anymore, and we can plug in him. So we can put in Belton in. So look at him. I think he is going to be the first round pick, and definitely if his private workouts go well, his combine and his all pro with pro day, he's going to be like mid to like late round first round pick. One player that I am super confused on for this entirety of this I don't want to say it, for this well, from what I'm hearing is edge rusher Jamar Stewart. He's listed as a defensive lineman on ESPN's boards, right, for best players, and they have him as a defensive tackle position, but he's ranked seventh positional, with 51st overall. I've heard reports and spread reports that saying that he's going to be a first round. He like solidified himself as a first round because he was playing pretty good. I just don't see it with his production in college. In his production at college, 2022, he had 23 tackles, 11 total tackles, 11 single or solo, 17 or 12 assisted, and 1.5 sacks. Okay, then let's look at 2023. He had 11 total tackles, 5 solo tackles, 6 assisted, 1.5 sacks, with 1 fumble recovery, and then 2 passes defended. 2024, he had 31 tackles, total tackles, 14 solo, 17 assisted, 1.5, 1.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and then 2 passes defended. He's had more passes defended. He almost had more passes defended than he did sacks. He had 4.5 sacks in his collegiate career, and he had 4 passes defended. And people are, I get it that, he's 6'6", 290, right? I can understand that, but he didn't show the production in college. If you can get him to like play at, you gotta get. Can you make him play where he's getting 10 sack to 8.5 to 10 sacks, or even more than that, like in a season? Then yeah, that's a great pick. But if you can't, that's not a first round talent, not whatsoever. Definitely with somebody who has not come out and like been really good. I can understand that there's two other players on that Texas A&M defensive line that like they had better seasons, but I just don't think I think those two are better than him. I think honestly, I think Shamar Turner is from like the edge rusher. Shamar Turner is better than Shamar Stewart, even though they're playing different positions. Even like I think that those guys should be looked at before we start looking at Shamar Stewart. And do you know what? It could be. It's going to be interesting to see because I know some players have him. Like Nick Scruton. He had, in 2023, he had 10 sacks. And then 5 followed that year, or then followed that year in 2024. He had a down year to 5 sacks. But he already has 17 sacks in that his collegiate career. That's more than both Turner and Stewart combined. So a lot of people are like, why would you want somebody because that hasn't been able to even get close to like that hasn't been able to get over 1.5 sacks? Because Turner had 8. 10 sacks, hit 10 total sacks in his collegiate career, and the most coming in 2023 with 6. So that's where I'll end my rant for those guys. And you know what? We'll see when it comes. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how some of these guys perform. Okay, now we're going to go off or go away from the senior bowl. We're gonna just talk about now. We're gonna talk about running backs. The running backs are gonna be very interesting this year. I know that I said that there's gonna be a domino effect with them, but who knows with it truthfully? Because there's so many players that have decided to declare for the draft at running back, and that some players might just be like, you know what? I'm just gonna like some teams might be like, okay, I know that these players are gonna be going early, so we don't need to worry. I think that it's gonna be Austin Jeancey, Amari Hampton. I think Judkins has been talked about being in the first round. I think those two players are gonna be first round early second. Ashton Jones is going in the first round, 100%. Omarion Hampton, I think he's proven that he's a first round player. He's probably going first round. But we'll see. He's going to go early second then. I say Jenkins and Henderson both played phenomenal. I think they're going to be second. Trevor Etienne had a great senior bowl. I had a great bowl. And then I think he's going to be a second round player. But some of these teams might just hold off and be like, you know what? I don't need like that type of position right now. So why do I need to even worry about it? And so it's going to be interesting to see how those players fall. But let's go back to the Senior Bowl. And I know I said that, you know, we're going to be done talking about it. But I just want to talk about somebody who has had a great, who had a great one. And I can't believe I did not think about him until just now. Pez Johnson probably was a fourth round pick, third round pick. Probably is going in the second round now. Some people might want to even take him in the first round. And it should be interesting to see. He had such a phenomenal senior bowl that it was turning heads because no DB could keep up with him. He had, for this season, he had, with a new quarterback, with Dalen Gabriel, he had 83 receptions, 898 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Let's go back to 2023, where he was playing with Bo Nix. You know, it's him and Bo Nix had such a good chemistry together because they live together. They basically are, they live together, you know, and they played high school ball with each other, and they had a great connection for me. Let's look at this. He had 86 receptions for 1,182 yards and 10 touchdowns. Sure, he was able to produce the same for touchdowns, but they played really well together. And I think he even transferred over from, I forgot who it was with, but he transferred over to come play with Bo Nix once he found out. And so, looking at Tez Johnson, no one can keep up with him. Why would you not want that? Why would you say, no, we're good, we don't need him? Oh, because he transferred from Troy. He's a 5-year player. He's in 3 seasons, from 2022 to 2024, he had at least 863 yards receiving. And then he had back-to-back, he didn't score his first season at Troy in 2020. Second season at Troy, he had 4 receiving touchdowns. Second season, 4 receiving touchdowns. Then back-to-back seasons with Oregon, 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns each season. And he was able to show that he had explosiveness coming off like the ball. When he was running routes, he looked polished. He looked like you didn't really have to worry about him. And if you don't have to worry about him, oh man, like he's going to be a dangerous player coming out of the draft. Let's talk about two more players that I think also helped their draft stock with Jalen Royals, running or wide receiver out of Utah State. His season stats were 55 yards receive or 55 receptions for 134 yards receiving, 6 touchdowns. He was able to show that he could dominate in the pack or the Mountain West. He, oh man, this is weird. In 2 seasons with Utah State, he in 2023 had 71 yards receiving, 1,080 yards receiving, or 71 receptions for 1,080 yards and 15 touchdowns. Then his production dropped to 55 receptions for 834 yards and 6 touchdowns. He also, no one really could keep up with him. He was showing that he could be super productive. Because if you go, I know a lot of people are saying this guy could be, you know, one of those hidden talent or gems. Could be, I think it's like the sixth to the fourth round is where he's projected to go as of now. But somebody, Boise State, had a good defense, right? And so going into it where they were able to rank the high, like they made it the the college football playoffs, right? Jalen Rollers had 9 receptions for 211 yards and 2 touchdowns receiving. He was on a streak from August 21st when they played against Temple for when he got 10 receptions for 112 yards. And then on, he kept getting over 100 yards receiving each game. Because then you go past the Boise game where he had 211 yards receiving. Then you go to the UNLV game. UNLV was a tough team this year. They were 10 receptions for 155 yards and a touchdown. Then you go to University of New Mexico. He had 11 receptions for 188 yards and a touchdown. He was able to show that he could play against some like of the tough teams in their conference, which was surprising to, I know, to a lot of people. Second guy, I think, and the final person that I think helped themselves a lot in this Senior Bowl was Hayden Higgins. It was Iowa State to Cologne, Iowa State wide receiver. His season stats was 87 receptions for 1,183 yards and 9 touchdowns. Looking over that, that was like the highest like he for receiving yards and even receptions. Because if you go back to it, he kept improving each year, because he originally played for Eastern Kentucky in his first season, 29 receptions for 394 yards, 3 touchdowns receiving. Then second year at Eastern Kentucky was 58 receptions for 757 yards and 10 touchdowns. He then transfers to Iowa State. He get has 53 receptions for 983 yards. He had 5 less catches and had more yards, receiving yards. But then he had 10 touchdowns or 6 touchdowns. My pardon. 2024, he has 87 receptions, the most by far. It's almost 30 more. He almost has 30 more. He has 29 more receptions than his next best. Has one and then has 1,183 yards receiving and then 9 touchdowns. He was able to catch the ball. He is a bigger body, 6'4", 215, but he also has that, he's able to go up and get that ball. So he wants to have that ball. And so looking at that, I think he was a huge winner because he was able to show off his athleticism and that, he could be like a good receiver. And I think he's projected to go right now in like the third to the fourth round right now. And so seeing that will should be interesting to see with some of these combine coming up next month and then seeing their old pro day or their pro days and then private workouts. If we can see or if they can keep improving all these guys that were winners or they could, move up another round because if they have, a great interview and people are like, you know what, this is the player that I want in our locker room because, they're a leader or they're the type of person that will motivate others and will bring out the best in other players. Why would you not want that? Well, thank you guys for all joining, and listening to this, the Fourth Down Insight and, I'll be posting another one next week, or because I guess today is Sunday, so this upcoming week there'll be at least one new episode coming out, and so we'll probably talk about some new hires for some of these teams, and definitely talk about the reaction to Chip Kelly being hired as the new OC for the Raiders. So yeah, check back in next week, guys, and peace.